Hi, you're listening to Rabbi Danny Eisenberg. Welcome to the podcast. This week's parasha, Parashat Toldot, has an interesting opening. It starts with the opening, Ele Toldot Yitzchak ben Avraham. Avraham holid et Yitzchak. These are the generations of Yitzchak, the son of Avraham. Avraham fathered Yitzchak. And then it goes on to say, the generations of Yitzchak are the whole story of the birth of Yaakov and Esav. So here it's an interesting the way the Torah opens the parasha. It tells you straight away that Yitzchak is the son of Avraham, and then it goes on to say that Avraham fathered him. It's quite obvious. There's a clear tautology here, and the question is, why does the Torah do this? So Rashi on the spot tells us that through these extra words, the Torah is giving us insight into an incident that was taking place at the time of Yitzchak's birth, which was that when Yitzchak was born, or when Sarah, let's put it this way, before Yitzchak was born, when Sarah was pregnant, so the Leitzanei Hador, the cynics, the scoffers, the mockers of the generation, were saying that this child clearly was not the child of Avraham. Avraham was so old, he'd been living with Sarah, married for so many years without having a child. So then they go to live with Avimelech. We know that Avimelech took Sarah into his harem. Okay, Avraham had not disclosed that she was his wife to protect his life, but in the end, Sarah was taken by him, and the people would say, well, clearly this child is not Avraham's child, this child is Avimelech's child. And so this is what the people, the cynics, were saying. But then, so what did Hashem do? When Sarah gave birth, and here was the baby, Hashem made sure that Yitzchak's face would look exactly like the image of Avraham's, and so that all the people would know that this was Avraham's child. And therefore what the Torah is teaching us in the Pasuk is that these are the generations of Yitzchak, the son of Avraham, and everybody who saw Yitzchak's birth knew that Avraham fathered Yitzchak. So that's an interesting little insight there, but the question is, you know, what's the profundity behind this? Why is it necessary for the Torah to go out of its way to inform us almost in a very muted fashion of this incident that took place? Soloveitchik also had a further question, which is, why are these people called Leitzanei Hador, the cynics of the generation? You know, if you want to call them, you want to say that they were Rasha'im, they were wicked people who would always look for the negative, or they were Lashon Hara, they were Baalei Lashon Hara, they would say Rechilut, they'd spread talebearers about people. So call them that. Why are they called Leitzanei Hador, the cynics of the generation, as if they are actually a certain group within society? And his response is as follows, that this Midrash is actually telling us something, a more or deeper level of understanding as to what's actually taking place here. You see, because Avraham was a unique personality in the generation. People, everyone was impressed by Avraham. Here he was, this person, Avraham Ivri, he held a position that was different to that of the entire generation. There was no one in the world who was thinking along the lines of Avraham, this concept that there's only one God, and that he's an ethical being. This was totally contrary to the entire culture of the ancient world in which he lived. And yet Avraham was able to impress people. People were overcome by his stature as a moral, ethical human being, and they were impressed by him. So some people were impressed, and you see, for example, the people of the Hittites, the Bnei Chet, when they speak to Avraham, they speak to him with such respect, and Nesi Elokim Ata B'dochenu, you are a prince of God amongst us. So they were inspired by him as a religious figure, but not everybody was so excited about Avraham. There were people who were quite cynical. What was the cynicism? Well, they felt threatened by Avraham, you see, because once Avraham comes along and he tells people what you're doing is wrong, you have to strive for a higher standard, you have to strive for a more ethical standard, so then they felt threatened. And what did they say? They said, look, you know, Avraham, we can't say much about Avraham, because at the end of the day, he's an impressive personality. And there is what he says, but we know that no matter how great Avraham is, without a spiritual heir to wear his mantle, so then his movement will not go anywhere. the morality that he is pushing us, he's hacking us, he's telling us we have to raise our level, that's not going to exist anymore, because he doesn't have anybody to follow in his footsteps. And so when Sarah was pregnant with Yitzhak, they said, you know what, no matter how great Abraham is, his child is going to be the child of Abimelech, meaning a personality like Abraham, who can stand up and stand strong against the rest of the generation, such a person is once in a millennium. So to have a child like that, it's not going to happen. He's going to be from the child like Abimelech, like the surrounding culture. He's just going to follow in the path of everybody else. And therefore, so what did Hashem do? So he made Yitzhak, not just in terms of his physical features, but he created a Yitzhak who was the mirror image of the path of Abraham. Meaning, you see through Yitzhak's life, not to say that he was identical to Abraham in every way, but he was somebody who was completely dedicated to the mission of Abraham. He didn't go and do his own thing. He went and he reinforced the path that his father went. You have a look what happens in the parasha. What does Yitzhak do? When the Plishtim are jealous of Abraham and they seal up the wells that he dug, and they try and hide the trace that there ever was in Abraham. So Yitzhak goes and he redigs those wells, and he names them the same names that they had, that his father named them. In other words, Yitzhak is going to be the continuer of the legacy of Abraham. He is going to be the one who allows it to be perpetuated. And this is the greatness of Yitzhak, and this is really the significance of what it means, Abraham hulid at Yitzhak. Not just that everybody said, oh, Abraham definitely gave birth to this child Yitzhak. But it's more than that. Abraham, this Yitzhak was in the image of Abraham. Not that they were identical personalities. We can see through their lifestyles there were very significant differences between them. But nevertheless, Abraham was the innovator and Yitzhak was the one who perpetuated the legacy of his father. This was a unique stage that needed to happen in the development of Am Yisrael. And the truth is that in our times as well, this is a necessary stage that Am Yisrael has to have in order to be perpetuated. It's not enough to have people who are innovative, to have people who are creative, who are dynamic, who can set the world on fire with their ideas, but you also need to have people who can be perpetuated as people who will follow in the path of their ancestors, who will reinforce and strengthen that which has been done already. This is the challenge that we all have to rise to in terms of allowing Judaism to continue and to grow and expand. So the message behind this, these extra words in the pasuk, was not merely to relate a particular incident that took place, but rather to tell us something much deeper, to tell us one of the foundations of what Jewish continuity is about, and the eternalization of Judaism is through this very quality that you have to have an Avraham hulid et Yitzhak. And this is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has provided us in order that the Jewish people as a whole should continue to exist, but it's also something that we have to engender within ourselves, and something that we have to encourage the next generation to follow as well. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the podcast, and wishing you all Shabbat Shalom.